Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the City of Arroyo Grande City Council and Redevelopment Agency for Tuesday, June the 12th. Roll call, please.
Council Board Member Costello.
Here.
Council Board Member Guthrie.
Here.
Council Board Member Fellows.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Arnold is absent tonight. And Mayor Chair Ferrara.
Here. Just like to announce at this time, the council just adjourned from closed session where we discuss legal issues, and we have no report out of closed session at this time. Item three is our flag salute, and we're very pleased this evening to have John Stobey from Knights of Columbus, who's going to lead us in the flag salute. And if you would remain standing for our invocation, Dr. Mayor Harnish of Baha'i Faith is here to do our invocation. And, Doctor, I'm very pleased that you showed up because I was in the process of turning my collar around. So I'm glad you're here.
Ladies and gentlemen, place your hand over your heart and repeat after me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thou art the powerful, the omnipotent, the merciful, and thou art the generous, the beneficent, the Lord of grace abounding.
Very good, thank you. John, you've been here before.
Yes, sir.
You know the drill. So we need to know about Knights of Columbus. I know some of the things they've been doing lately, but perhaps you can fill us in and let us know what activities you've been involved in.
Saturday, we did a code of honor for our 22nd Eagle Scout. We sponsored Troop 26, and Matthew Hoffman received Eagle Scout. We did that Saturday. Sunday, we had a golf tournament at LeSage, 30 golfers. Then afterwards, we had a nice barbecue at the hall. And June and July, or July, August, we'll be at the Mid-State Fair. We have a pro-life booth. We'll help man that. We'll have a pancake breakfast and a blood drive in September. And also in September, we'll man a hot dog hamburger booth at the Harvest Festival here in town. And that will wrap up the year for us.
So staying busy as usual then.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
We'll move to item five, special presentations. We have none this evening. Item six is agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented tonight be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That takes us to item seven, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the public to come forward on any item not published on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. We would ask that you limit your comments to 3 minutes or less. Please address the council as a whole. Once again, items not published on this evening's agenda. Anyone who would like to come forward?
This is the first time that I've attended a city council meeting, so I don't know all the protocol. My name is Sean Collins, and I represent an organization through a business partner called Kids Life. And what it is an organization. It's now a 501c3 company that promotes nutrition and fit health. Nutrition, fitness, and just general well-being to the families. You know, there was you may know that there was a large federal grant of $500 million for pretty much the same thing in the nationwide school systems. And so we're looking around for where the money is to get this organization set up here, and just want to make contact with everybody and sort of look for any suggestions that you might have.
Okay.
And so how would I follow up on getting information?
Why don't you follow up with Steve, and he can get you our city manager, and he can get you pointed in the right direction.
Great. Do that now or later?
Probably later after the meeting.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you for your comments. Anyone else who would like to come forward? Once again, items not on this evening's agenda. Okay. We'll close the public community comment and suggestions item on our agenda. We'll move to the consent agenda. As most of you know, the consent agenda is a group of items that the council typically approves in one action unless there is an individual item on consent that a council member would like to pull for individual action or further discussion or clarification. This is also an opportunity for members of the audience to come forward and comment on any of the consent items. And if you're following along on this evening's agenda, that's consent items 8A through 8H. So I would invite, again, any member of the public who would like to come forward and comment on any of those consent items. Once again, 8A through 8H. Anyone? Okay, seeing none, we'll close the public input on the consent agenda, bring this back to the council. What is the will of the council on consent agenda? Any items to be pulled?
Mr. Mayor, would you pull 8C, please?
8C, Charlie?
Yes, that's correct.
Any others?
No.
Okay. Then I will entertain a motion to approve consent items 8A through 8H.
So moved.
With the exception of 8C.
Sorry, so moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Anything in there to read?
Yes, indeed. Item 8H is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande amending Chapter 16.60 of the Arroyo Grande Municipal Code relating to signs.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. With that, we have a motion and a second. Stepping down on 8C, is there any further discussion on 8C? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I move approval of consent agenda item 8C.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes, thank you. That takes us to item 9, public hearings. Move up. 9A is consideration of Development Code Amendment 06004, zone change for the East Cherry Avenue Extension, subarea 2 of the East Village Neighborhood Plan.
I guess I can handle this one. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, this item was originally scheduled and noticed as a public hearing for this date. However, some of the key residents that live within this area and will be impacted by this rezoning could not attend and were out of town, and they requested that it be continued. Again, at this point, we are recommending that it be continued to a date certain, which would be July 10th, 2007.
Okay. Anyone have any issues on this? This is a public hearing. If there are members of the public who are here this evening to speak on item 9A, we will take your public hearing or your public comments tonight. I suspect this item will be continued, though. Any members of the public on 9A? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close the public hearing portion of this. There'll be another opportunity for public input when the council hears this again. I'll need a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move we table this item until the July 10th meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Just to clarify, that's a continuance to July 10th?
Yes.
Yeah.
Councilmember Cassell?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. And as I mentioned a moment ago, for those of you who are here on 9B, we are going to table that for just a moment. And
we presented the specific items within the budget in detail and took discussion and comments and have incorporated those changes within the document. And with that, I would like Angie to give the bulk of the report to go over it in a little more detail.
I thought he was going to say my whole report. Like Steve said, the preliminary biannual budget for fiscal year 2007-2008 and 2008-09 was presented to the City Council on May 29, 2007. There were certain revisions, corrections, and modifications made to the document that was reviewed at the budget study session. These adjustments are outlined in the staff report that is being presented to Council tonight. All city funds as proposed are balanced. The total citywide budget for fiscal year 2007-08 is $24.6 million and for fiscal year 2008-09 is $25.3 million. The total recommended budget for the general fund is $14.3 million in fiscal year 2007-08 and $14.7 million in 08-09. Based on the discussions during the May 29th budget meeting, staff has modified its original request to reduce the general fund reserve policy to 15%. Staff is now recommending that the general fund reserve policy remain at a goal of 20%, but with a minimum of 15%. Staff will closely monitor any additional requests for appropriations throughout the year to ensure that the reserves do not fall below the minimum 15%. And with that, the city manager and myself are open to any questions.
Questions for Angie or Steve?
One quick point of clarification, which has to do with the reserve amounts in the two separate accounts. Are they, in fact, going to be tracked separately, the reserve account for the local use tax versus the what I'll call the rest of the general fund?
They would be tracked separately. The goal would be for them over time to get to the point where they're consistent. Both funds meet the minimum 15% and the goal of 20%. But they will be tracked separately.
Okay, so we'll know if the general fund is in fact not at 15% and is perhaps being made up by the use tax.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I won't take that into consideration when I'm doing my reports. I will just do it as a general fund. I won't include the sales tax. And I mean, I will include it. I'll let you know how much it is, but I'll give you the original general fund balance at that time.
Which includes the use tax or does not include the use tax? In the budget, it's broken out.
Right, and that's the way I'll do it. Yeah, I'm not including that revenue, and that's just so that for accounting purposes, but we do know that it is general fund revenue.
I move that we adopt a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande adopting fiscal years 2007 and 8 and 2008 and 9 biannual budget and making appropriations for the amount budgeted.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Council Board Member Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks again.
Mr. Mayor, do I need to make a motion that we approve the new financial policies separate from this?
Do we need to do that?
Mr. Mayor, I'd move that we adopt the proposed new financial policies.
I'll second that
okay.
as well.
Motion and a second. Discussion on that.
The policy is the 15 and 20%, just to
right.
clarify, yes.
Okay. Then roll call on the second motion.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Council Board Member Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. As I started to say a moment ago, Angie, thanks for making this a relatively painless process. So. Okay, the gates are open. Everybody's leaving.
That's right.
Okay, now we'll come back to 9B, which is our second public hearing, consideration of a proposed resolution of the City Council to amend conservation element of the general plan for creek protection-related policies, etc.
Good evening,
and Teresa.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the Council. Tonight we're here for council consideration of two items, a general plan amendment and development code amendment relating to creek protection policies. As everyone is aware, we're still in our moratorium period for development of creekside properties. And during this time, staff has been preparing a draft creek resources protection study. The study is an attempt to comprehensively look at some of the issues revolving around creek protection. A draft study was released in May, and I'll go through some of the background and some of the things contained in the study, and then proceed to include some of the physical ramifications of urbanization around our creeks and some of the interconnected issues that we have in regards to other things that we're trying to tackle in terms of citywide policies. So these include that the creeks are continuing to move during storm events or non-storm events or just due to urbanization. The creeks are continuing to kind of erode some banks and try to meander as they progress down toward the ocean. And this is affecting some of our creekside properties. That water quality and the city's water supply are interconnected, and impacts to one affects the other. That there have been and continue to be alterations creeks inside our city and within the Arroyo Grande Creek watershed. That there are documented issues with sedimentation. That there is localized and downstream flooding events still occurring and historically occurring. That there is an issue with invasive plants, especially in the Arroyo Grande Creek. That there are several areas that with significant loss of native riparian habitat. That there are known cultural resources in the vicinity of our creeks. And that we have general plan policies and issues in prioritization as regards recreational trails. The study includes looking at the creeks within the city limits, but the ramifications are watershed wide. And this is the area of the Arroyo Grande Creek watershed, focusing on the area below Lopez Dam. There are several sub watersheds, including Newsom Springs, Orchard Street or Los Barros Creek watershed, Corbett Canyon watershed, and Meadow Creek watershed, that are considered sub-watersheds within the Arroyo Grande Creek watershed. And incidentally, the Meadow Creek watershed, just due to several questions arising from Meadow Creek, East Fork, and what I'll call West Fork along Oak Park, do flow down through Grover and Pismo Beach to Pismo Lake, through Pismo Lake, and then do connect. What has research given us in terms of direct impacts due to impervious surfaces, paving, rooftops adjacent to our creeks? And there's lots and lots of research that document that basically as you pave and develop more along your creek and within your sub-watersheds, you do have increased peak flow, increased stream temperature, changes in sediment loadings. These things end up in habitat loss, erosion areas, channel widening, things of that nature. That when we keep building and filling in our floodplain, we affect downstream areas. That lots of documentation in terms of water quality and what we will find in our urban runoff, and how communities more built out than ours are having to address this and how costly it is. We looked at areas within our city, specific areas that were identified in previous studies. These are studies including the Arroyo Grande Creek Watershed Master Plan, studies by Swanson Hydrology that noted areas of erosion or issue areas along each of our creeks. This is just an example of one of the maps in the creek study. Added to this, we have a study done by a master's candidate at Cal Poly and one reach of the Arroyo Grande Creek, and observations by our own Public Works Department when they go out and try to deal with maintenance issues and drainage issues regarding our creek. FEMA is currently updating some the FEMA maps pertaining to the city. Staff looked at the flood zones and floodways within the city. We looked at what are defined as blue line creeks. And basically, we grouped everything into four issue considerations. That would be the watershed-based considerations, the buffers and habitat protection, the stormwater and drainage, and the integration with policies for water resources. We looked at demonstrated tools that have effectively worked in other communities. You'll notice number three there is aquatic buffers, and that's what will requirements for a water conservation and landscape ordinance. Another fourth recommendation is to approve some creekside planting and stewardship guidelines. We have some draft guidelines contained in the study. Citywide site design guidelines that would incorporate low-impact development and water conservation and integrate those. And some minor but amendments to the drainage master plan in terms of preferred methods of creek crossings and creek restoration. To pursue the implementation of the Rio Grande Watershed Memorandum of Understanding and to implement the priority projects that we've been working toward over the last year and a half in conjunction with other groups and stakeholders in our watershed. And those are contained in the creek study. So with that, I'll proceed to the proposed general plan amendment. The first item is to add a creek map in the general plan. I'll go to that map in just a moment. To amend existing policies that we already have in our conservation, agricultural conservation, and open space element. These are combined elements in our general plan. And to add some new policies and implementation measures within this element. The map is contained in your resolution. It maps Rio Grande Creek and Tallyhoe Creek, which were maps previously included on our land use map, and adds all the rest of the creeks in Rio Grande, including those that are partially culverted, are intermittent, and even that are underground. And this is to make sure that we can provide protection for these areas over time. And the inclusion of the partially culverted and underground creeks is deemed to be very important due to not only maintenance issues to the knowledge of that hydraulic interconnectedness of the streams, but also to future restoration or perhaps even daylighting opportunities. There are several amendments and additions, as I mentioned, to the general plan. I'm not going to go through each of them, but I'll go through a couple of the most significant top of stream bank or edge of riparian habitat. The Planning Commission made some additional wording changes I wanted to bring to your attention. This includes pertaining to conservation open space element policy number 2-1.2. The end sentence would now read, bridges are preferred over arched or pipe culverts. And a minor wording change in 2-1.5 that was made by the commission. More grammatical there. They also took out the words where feasible at the end of the policy for 2.1.10 so that it just simply reads use watershed planning approaches to resolve water quality problems. An additional proposed amendment or revision is being brought to your attention tonight after staff talked to Councilman Fellows and amongst staff. And there's some grammatical issues with some existing wording in this particular policy. This is 2-1.3, And it reads, except in urban areas where existing development exists to the contrary, prevent removal of riparian vegetation within 25 feet of the top of the stream bank. We feel that this this wording is difficult and just clutters this policy, and we're proposing it to you tonight for possible removal from this policy. I'll move now to the setback ordinance before you this evening. The setback ordinance has emerged from different alternatives vetted in the creek study. This alternative includes providing setback language in an existing floodplain management overlay district, an unmapped district that's already in our code. It provides for minimum setbacks that are similar to yard setbacks. These setbacks are 50 feet from Meadow Creek and the East Fork of Meadow Creek, 35 feet from Arroyo Grande Creek and Tally Ho Creek, and 25 feet from other creeks and drainage ways within the city. The measurement of the setback we have several areas where there's the riparian vegetation only comes up, doesn't even make it to the top of the bank. So in that case, you'd be measuring it from the top of the stream bank. In other cases, the riparian habitat extends well beyond the top of creek bank, and in that case, you would measure it from the edge of riparian habitat. The ordinance also contains a provision to provide some flexibility for application of setbacks within the village districts, and this is including portions of Arroyo Grande Creek and Tally Ho Creek. And it reads in part that through an application of a conditional use permit, a setback may provide for an average of 35 feet within a proposed project area, but under no circumstances shall any portion be less than 25 feet. The Planning Commission discussed this provision in some depth, and again, this is to provide for some of the smaller lots we have in the village. To enable development that would allow the creek to be an amenity for a village, which does balance some existing policies in our general plan, and provide some flexibility for some highly constrained sites. The Planning Commission felt that the provision that under no circumstance shall any portion of that setback be less than 20 feet, which was recommended by staff, was not protective enough, and they've recommended to you tonight for 25 feet. I can provide some graphics later on about the averaging provision, but essentially it provides for an area, a buffer within the adjacent to the creek, whereby if you encroach into that area, you have to provide that same area outside that 35-foot buffer. So you have a no net loss of riparian buffer area with this averaging provision. Another change by the Planning Commission included two other important provisions of this ordinance include exemption of existing agricultural activities, and this is due to the fact that they are separately regulated by the state, and that we have significant policies in our general plan to provide for protection of agricultural operations within our city. And that there are provisions that if this ordinance would deprive any property owner of economically viable use of the property, then those exceptions may be made through the variance process. And the variance process is stipulated within the ordinance, and that is why it's there. Some definitions I'll just bring to your attention. Top of bank, we have defined as shall mean the highest elevation of land which confines the flow of water to the channel. In the staff report, we did specify some additional wording due to some questions that were actually brought up in the one of our two public workshops regarding this creek protection strategy. And there are areas within the city, a couple areas, a portion of Tally Ho is one, where the top of bank is difficult to distinguish due to some sedimentation and fill in portions of the creek. And for those areas, the edge of floodway can be used and basically provide a similar measurement distance of a setback. So this wording was included in the Planning Commission packet, but the Planning Commission didn't make a specific recommendation on this, so staff just wanted to bring that to your attention. This would be the addition of wording to the definition already existing in your ordinance. And with that, the Planning Commission recommends that the City Council adopt a resolution to amend the general plan for creek protection policies and introduce an ordinance to establish creek setbacks. Additional recommendation is to provide for staff direction on other recommendations in the draft creek resources protection study. And I just like to let the council...
I don't know if you can answer this, but maybe you can get the answer for me. During a flood, when all manner of stuff is being washed down the creek, what kind of a fence would actually not clog up and impede the flow of water? Has that been discussed? A fence built in the setback?
It has not been discussed in detail, but obviously we're looking for open fencing where water can run through. It's just open fencing that allows water to proceed through.
Okay. I'll have a comment about that later. Let's see. At a public hearing maybe a year or so ago, there was a gentleman that came forth to the podium to speak, and I believe he described himself, his job as being a restoration biologist. And I think his name might have been Greg McGowan, but I can't remember for sure. Did he come forward to give any input on this study? He gave some valuable input on the Cherry Creek outfall from the swale into the creek. Have you heard from him?
Not in recent months. I did take obviously notes from the workshop and for consideration in the creek study, and as that particular project has been designed. Or being designed, I've been aware of the issues for that restoration need and regarding that outfall. The study does not go into great depth. It just points out that there's sort of emerging trends for situations where you put an outfall into a creek bank or near a creek bank, and some of the methods used historically may not be the most appropriate methods today, but oftentimes they still are, and it's just a case-by-case basis. But that is included in some of the other recommendations in the creek study, amendments to the drainage master plan for those preferred methods, for example, in terms of the specifics. We just pointed out some of them. More natural creek bank restoration is a preferred method over installing structural channel bank stabilization, for example.
Thanks. And then one last thing. I want to be sure that I...
Okay. Any other questions or clarifications? Yeah. Councilmember Guthrie?
This has to do with how the averaging would work. You know, I'm thinking of an example where we have an existing situation where perhaps there's already a building in the setback, which we have in a number of places within the village. When we're doing the averaging, you know, they're already, you know, let's say they're negative 20 feet for some. Are you going to include the existing, well, call the existing exemption that exists because it's an it's a current situation and is grandfathered in. So, in other words, would we be looking? Let's just use an extreme example that it's, you know, it's a 50-foot lot, and you already have an existing building that sets completely within the setback. So they're starting out at zero for half of the lot line. Would we be then looking at 70 feet for the remaining? Is that how that would work? I know this extreme example, but it's the math's easy.
Well, there's actually two issues there. One is that we do have several structures that are already in what would be established as a creek setback area by this ordinance. And we do have an existing provision in our code regarding structures that are legal nonconforming, and it varies slightly from our the language for nonconforming uses. For nonconforming structures, essentially, if you have an existing structure, you can continue to use and enjoy that structure. If you're going to remodel that structure, don't continue or don't add any area toward the creek. If that structure needs to be demolished and rebuilt, you can rebuild that structure in that area. And these are with existing provisions in our code. If a project comes forward requiring discretionary review and wanting to make some changes on a property where an existing structure already encroaches into the setback, that averaging provision is to provide that net area that you would have given a 35-foot setback. So you know, a discretionary action kind of opens it all up, and for a new project, obviously considerations would have to be made if there's just simply no room, as I previously discussed. But the intent of that averaging provision is to provide a no net loss of that buffer area. So if you lose it in one area, you need to gain it in another area of the project site.
And the other question had to do with there's a
break in grade adjacent to that creek. So our fallback is then use the floodway as defined by FEMA.
And do we generally know where these areas are? I mean, you mentioned Tally Ho. Do we think we already know pretty much in advance where these areas are going to be?
Yeah, they're not very many. One small section of Tally Ho and the vicinity of the it's an unnamed waterway downstream from Grace Church as it goes to Bennett Avenue. Those are two I can think of offhand.
Okay. Thank you.
I had a couple of questions, Teresa. First of all, did the I'm assuming NRCS and RCD checked in with this? And
yes, the Creek Work Group that has been meeting essentially monthly have, you know, as issues of questions have arisen on things that I was considering putting in the creek study, they've provided input, and they're still providing input on the draft creek study. It's still in draft form. In regards to the ordinance, they provided comments to me before it made it to the public workshop.
Well, I guess my question is, are they generally supportive of staff's recommendation here?
Yes, I would say they're generally supportive. They obviously know the value of creek protection provided by setbacks, and they also are very aware in dealing with private property owners that the ideal setbacks just are not necessarily feasible within our city limits. So they provided comments to both of those points.
Okay. I noted the letter from Regional Water Quality Control stating that they would prefer, and I think it was a little more direct than that, they said that they would prefer alternative A2 instead of A1. What's the upside or downside of not going along with their recommendation?
Well, I would say that, you know, the letter points out that just getting some setbacks in place is important, and that they understood their difference is specifying exactly more particulars about what can and cannot be placed within the riparian corridor, within the setback area, and outside the setback area. These are difficult issues that, you know, I discussed at length with the Creek Work Group. But really, the crux of the matter is the establishment of setbacks is essentially the same with both ordinances in terms of setback distance. It's just a different way to implement those setbacks.
Okay. And on the bottom of page 5, top of page 6, we talk specifically about setback distances in the village area. And I was particularly focused on, I guess, the last sentence on bottom of page 5 where it, and continues on to the top of page 6 where it says, the city may desire to further expand such uses to maximize utilization of the creek as a recreation aesthetic amenity to enhance the character of the village. I'm assuming what we're talking about there are perhaps, you know, decomposed granite trails, park benches. Those are okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
And if those are part of a proposed project and the structures themselves are in compliance with the setback policy, but there are those kinds of other amenities, those would be allowed in the setback area.
The trails and it would. The policies proposed for you tonight discourage trails as much as possible within the setback area. You know, it's better that they're provided outside the setback area, but allows for the fact that, you know, that there's going to be some instances where you just simply don't have enough room. So the policy supports trails within the setback if that's the only place you can put them.
Okay. And you answered part of my the last question that I have with regard to grandfathering structures that are already in existence, particularly in the village area. And this is an issue that I kind of quizzed Tim about, and I'm pretty sure we have a green light, just for the record.
That's correct. The only caveat is we're assuming these are legal nonconforming uses. In other
right.
words, they were established legally.
Yeah.
If it was unpermitted to begin with, then no, it could not be expanded or be rebuilt.
Right. Okay. Very good. This is a public hearing. If there are members of the public that would like to come forward on 9B, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Once again, please be mindful of the 3-minute rule. Please address the council as a whole.
Hi, my name is Chris Erickson. I live at 582 Newman Drive. We have a property behind us that has a very severe creek erosion problem and has the demonstration there's a whole bunch of properties on the Rio Grande Creek that have the same problem. Are you guys, is the city council on projects now and in the future going to extend it from 25 feet 35 feet, and with this creek erosion problem, are you going to extend it back further? And also, I've talked to the people from Fish and Game, and whoever goes and cleans up the creeks, I've gone down the creek and they leave stuff in the creek, which is, and I've talked to the Fish and Game. If they ever find out who does it, they're going to get cited. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Are you talking about the cleanup crews or leaving stuff down there?
I guess it's CCC or whatever.
Yeah, Conservation Corps?
Yeah, they leave big, huge branches, big stuff down there. And the warden said that if they ever find out who does it, they're going to get cited.
Okay, so let me make sure I understand. Are they pruning or removing brush only and leaving it loose down there?
No,
is that what you're
saying? It's like, you know, with a chainsaw, go down and cutting branches out. And sometimes they cut them from the wrong side of the creek. I don't know why, but they do, to make the flow go better, and they just leave the stuff down there, and all the stuff goes and winds up going out of the ocean, and then they have raise hell.
Okay. It's the generally the RCD, unless they're working within the city boundaries. If they're working within the city boundaries, we'll have to take a look at that. Okay, thank you for your comment. Anyone else who would like to come forward on 9B? John? Not tonight? Okay, just thought I'd ask. All right, we'll close the public hearing portion of 9B, bring this back to the council, and...
For aesthetic reasons, biological reasons, cultural reasons, economic reasons, economic resources, they're a flood control resource, they're an open space resource, as well as recreation resources and water resources. And we've tried for the past year or so to do something to protect the creeks and establish some setbacks, except we haven't had any firm language. So I want to say right now that I do support the general plan amendment that's in front of us tonight, as well as the development code amendments that are before us tonight. I think it is critical that we establish some measurable and definable setbacks that we can resort to and point at, and people will be able to understand them clearly. I think that the recommendation A1, which seems like if you look through the Creek Resource Protection Study, alternative A1 called for the measures that are in the change to the general plan conservation element. And it seems like it establishes the size of the buffers, allows us to average the buffers in the village, which I think is important. And it's implemented in conjunction with the existing floodplain management regulations. I think that it's also important that, as the presentation by staff just showed us, that there will be a variance process to protect property owners if we can't come to, if it's economically unfeasible to develop the piece of property. There is a variance process in the measure to allow some sort of development to go forward. That being said, I can support the measures that came before us. I can support the 25-foot setback with the average of 35 in the village with the 25-foot, as long as we have that variance process in place to protect the potential for development on lots that would otherwise be economically unfeasible. So going down my notes here, and I've got all sorts of notes here, I can support the amendment to the agriculture, conservation, and open space elements, and I don't want to go back and cite all of the various language. It's quite extensive, but I do support it. I think that it's a good measure to get in place that will establish the setbacks for the creeks and give us... we do amend the drainage master plan in accordance with the recommendations. I definitely want to pursue the implementation of the Rio Grande Creek watershed memorandum of understanding that's been worked on, and implement the priority projects identified in the creek study. So I will support these, Mr. Mayor, and I look forward to getting them in place.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Well, I'll start with some general comments along the same lines as Councilman Costello, and that's I think that this is that the public should realize this is I believe anyway driven by the flooding that we had a couple of years ago down in the Oceano area that made it apparent that we were no longer going to be able to just hope things worked out, that we were going to have to take a more holistic approach to solving the entire creek the entire Rio Grande watershed problem all at once. And I think that when we looked at that, we realized that as the city with at least the most frontage, granted the county has by far the most, but the city that has the most frontage, that we were going to have to be a major leader in making this happen. So first, I do want to compliment staff on really a great creek study. I think that we were out in front with the MOU, but this is really going to be a very key piece in bringing all of the various agencies together through the MOU. So I think the public has to understand that, you know, this isn't something that just, you know, we kind of dreamed up as a project for staff to take off, that this is really driven by trying to provide some certainty for people, so we're not constantly dealing with one-off issues that happen when a project comes forward, and we're sort of making it up project by project, that it became obvious that we needed to have an element of certainty for everyone, an element of certainty for the, well, as much certainty as you can have with the state agencies, and an element of certainty for the property owners, and of course, a very functional system for our city to go forward with development. And I think we've made great progress here. In fact, a huge step here that while I'm certain there are many property owners that consider this to be onerous, but it also provides them some element of certainty that they can look at this and have some idea of what they can expect and how they might be able to accomplish what they want to accomplish. On the specifics tonight, I too can support everything going forward. I'm open to being convinced either way on the 20 or 25 feet. Since we are talking about averaging, we're actually talking about moving it from 25 to 35 foot average in all of the what I'll call the tight areas within the village there to take place to make this entire watershed and particularly the part that's affected by the city are going to require other measures that are going to be more infrastructure oriented. So I can support the what's before us tonight, and like I say, I'm open either way on the 20 or 25 feet. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Fellows?
Thank you. I can't say it any better than my colleagues. I would like to identify the member's staff, and for the folks at home, this is what we're talking about. This must weigh as much as a 5-pound box of See's candy. Teresa, you've done a great job. I think we're very lucky to have you on staff. It's obvious from your report that creeks are more than just aesthetics. They're more than just fish. There is a connection, as Teresa mentioned over and over again, that between the clean water in our creeks and clean water to drink, recharging our aquifer and so on. And then, of course, this, if we can keep the sediment out of the creek, which we can with diligent efforts, then we won't have as many problems downstream. We did in the past see the farmland downstream flooded. We did see a problem with the sewage treatment plant downstream being flooded. And I think this work, if it's followed up on, if we proceed towards the 8 goals, I of course support it. I wanted to mention that on page 4, option of adding for areas where the top of the bank is not distinguishable, the edge of floodway shall be used as top of the bank. I think that's a good option. I think that should be in the wording. Also on page 13, Victor with Public Works has mentioned over and over again, when we look at a project, he has mentioned that, well, remember, historically, what water leaves the project, what runs off from the project, it's okay to leave it that way. And I think that's a very important addition. In my copy, a little bit older copy of the staff report, it's the last thing on what would be the 13th page, even though it's not numbered, where it reads, require that discretionary projects to the maximum extent practicable maintain or increase the site's pre-development absorption of runoff to recharge the groundwater. So I think it's certainly time for us to consider not just maintaining it, as Victor has repeatedly reminded us, that's the policy now, but to increase the absorption, to decrease the amount of water that runs off the property after the development has been built. And I think that in the future, pretty soon, I'd like to see us talk about a requirement as a percentage, actually make a specific recommendation of the creek setback. Certainly support the idea that came from Planning Commission that bridges, even though they are more expensive than a culvert is essentially an earthen dam with a hole poked through it, and that's not what I think is the best thing for our creeks and so on, our waterways. So bridges, then perhaps if a bridge is not feasible, an arched culvert, but certainly not culverts, really, if they can be avoided at all. And then that was some confusing wording that Teresa mentioned in C/OS2-1.3. Get rid of that. That's certainly a good idea since it was my idea. And lastly, I do have a bit of a problem, even though it's certainly not enough to make me withdraw support, with the fact that a fence can be built within the setback. We don't have flood events that often. Hopefully, they'll be less and less common as we put this study into effect. But I can't think of a fence that wouldn't become clogged with debris, branches, stems, logs, and so on, and then eventually would impede the flow. But I guess we certainly have the resources on staff to deal with that later on. Those are my comments. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, I, for one, am very pleased that we have arrived at this point. It was about, 2 years ago or so, perhaps a little longer than 2 years ago, when I attended the first meeting of Zone 11A in the county of San Luis Obispo, and because of the flooding problem and subsequent liability that emerged from that event, the county was ready to turn this over to Zone 11A, turn it over to Department of Water Resources, and sort of a grassroots effort, we managed to turn that around. And part of that activity was actually twofold. That resulted in our neighbors downstream experiencing a Prop 218 election and essentially assessing themselves to do a better job, additional money to do a better job of maintenance. And other aspects of that were a memorandum of understanding that got multiple agencies, that's still working, by the way, but contact and coordination with multiple agencies to get us all on the same sheet of music and raise our awareness of the going to do something about it. And what I see this evening in front of us is a response and a very competent response to that commitment. And I, for that alone, Teresa, I want to thank you and staff and everyone who's worked hard to put this together. And I also want to thank the council, because not once did you waver through this whole process. And it's going to be a very rewarding experience, I think, if I'm able to attend the next Zone 11A meeting and be able to describe to them in kind of a general sense what we've done or are about to do tonight. Also, for the audience, recognize that we're not just talking about setbacks here. The studies that have come forth and capital improvements and work plans and use of our sales tax money to focus on infrastructure. Infrastructure is, in fact, at least part of our creek systems. So we're looking at a comprehensive approach that embodies water quality, vegetation removal, not vegetation thinning and leaving the debris in the channel. We got to work on that. Erosion control, bank stabilization, drainage and runoff, all of it are important elements to having a good maintenance policy in place of the entire watershed. So I'm glad that we've made the initial steps at addressing the first two recommendations, and I know we're going to continue on through the other six and address them all. As far as the setback, the language change that the Planning Commission made, I do believe that there is value in the 25-foot setback, and for no other reason than consistency. We put an emergency ordinance in place. I think it's worked very well. It went in place rather quickly, perhaps not with a body of science behind it that we would have liked, but now we've gone through the process of evaluating it with a bit more attention to science and behavior of the watershed as a whole, and we're still coming up at 20 to 25 feet. And I think that for no other reason than consistency and erring on the side of caution, I'm comfortable. And with that, I'll entertain, I guess we're going to have a couple of motions on this. Is that right, Tim? Yeah, one for the general plan amendment, one for the ordinance. Okay. Who'd like to give it a shot?
Mr. Mayor, I'd move we adopt a resolution of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande approving general plan amendment case number 07-001 to amend the 2001 general plan conservation element for creek protection-related policies.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Would that include the revisions provided in the staff presentation for the wording, for example, deletion of the sentence on policy number 2-1.3.
Yes.
Second all.
Okay. Did we catch it all, Teresa? Okay. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Okay, motion on the ordinance.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adopt an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rio Grande to approve Development Code Amendment 07-003, amending portion of the Rio Grande Municipal Code, Chapter 16.04 and 16.44 of Title 16 to establish creek setback standards.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Discussion?
Again, Mr. Mayor, would this include the amendment as proposed by staff and mentioned by Councilman Fellows regarding where the top of bank is indistinguishable, the flood edge of floodway shall be used?
Yes.
Okay.
Second holds.
I'm assuming the second
yes,
holds.
Yes.
Better. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Fellows?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Thank you.
And Mr. Mayor, I'd also recommend that staff continue working on recommendations as listed on page 2 of the staff report, 3, 4, 5, and on page 3, 6, 7, and 8.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second on the third recommendation. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Communities do about view shed reviews, and I'm pretty sure I'm right since the city attorney has confirmed, and so has the city manager, that other communities in the county, in this county, do not do view shed reviews. The view shed review that we looked at played out through a period of 50 weeks, almost an entire year, and ended up being very expensive and time-consuming for both the applicant and the neighbor next door. And I would like to request of my colleagues here to place on a future agenda consideration of eliminating view shed review process.
Okay. Anyone have an issue with that? Putting it on the agenda?
No, not putting it on the agenda.
Okay.
Seems fine. Put it on the agenda.
All right. Then that's what we'll do.
Thank you.
For the future. Okay, that takes us to 13 city manager items. Any this evening?
Yes, sir.
Any council communication? Item 14. Anything? A couple of quick things. First of all, I want to congratulate our police department. They're not represented here this evening, but maybe they're watching for. Just an awesome leg of the Special Olympics torch run, which happened early this morning. And they set a really nice pace, took the torch from Grover Beach at on Grand Avenue and ran it to our city border. And CHP took it from there. And just also want to mention once again that our Channel County's League of Cities division meeting is this Friday, and so I would encourage anyone who can make it to be there. And let's see. Oh, one other thing. So everyone knows, I've had an opportunity to meet with Mr. Ken Slott from Investec on some of the issues up at Five City Center. They're going to be coming back with a different proposal. And at the last meeting with Mr. Slott and the attorney, I suggested that they contact members of the council and members of the Planning Commission and actually schedule some on-site tours up there. All right, that takes us to. Okay, so you're going to be gone. Is Mayor Pro Tem going to be gone as well?
Yes.
Okay. And that's been considered on the agenda, Steve? I can't recall.
Well, we weren't aware that Councilmember Costello was going to be absent, but yeah, we'll relook at the agenda.
May want to take another peek at it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, 15, staff communications. Anything tonight? Item 16, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to come forward on any item.
Thank you. John Keene, 298 North Elm Street. I have a real huge concern about eliminating ViewShed. I know that they are controversial, they're hard decisions, and staff hates them, Planning Commission hates them, and I know that the council hates them. But I have never heard in the oath of office that you guys took that you will not make hard decisions, that you'll only make easy ones. And I think this last one that we just heard, the tenants would have no view if we didn't have ViewShed review. Compromise situation that ViewSheds go through doesn't stop either party, but it gives a forum for each party to try to accommodate each other. Now, they may not like it, but that's the process, and that needs to be done. And I would hate to see the council eliminate the ViewShed review, even as hard as it is for everybody. I know staff hates them, but I just think it's terrible. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, John. Anyone else who would like to come forward on any item? Okay. We will close our final community comments and suggestions. That takes us to item 17, which is adjournment. Thank you very much.